the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Although Thanksgiving is a secular holiday, meaning that it was established not by the church, but by the civil authority, the impulse that led our founding fathers to institute this holiday for our nation was deeply Christian. As Washington says in his Thanksgiving proclamation, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And so he, with the Congress of these United States, recommended and assigned the Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks. As Christians, we know that all blessings come down from God and that all thanks are to be given to him, as Luther teaches us to pray before our meals. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us in these thy gifts, which we receive from your bountiful goodness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. But beyond the earthly goods that are listed by Washington that we rightly give thanks for as Christians, of course, when we think of Thanksgiving, our minds should be drawn beyond those temporal benefits and earthly food, no matter how good the turkey and stuffing may be, to the heavenly feast, the Eucharist, which, if we translated it from the Greek, means the Thanksgiving. In it, we have a picture of all earthly thanks and heavenly alike. The Holy Communion is surrounded by thanksgiving in the Lutheran liturgy. In the center, we have the words of institution themselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. In the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, our Lord gives thanks for the bread and for the wine. And we do well to emulate this, to give thanks to God for the food that we receive and realize that he provides constantly for what we need for this body and life. We aren't dogs begging at the kitchen table, greedily snapping up the piece of turkey or stuffing that falls from the table, but we are God's own children by baptismal grace. We are calm and without fear for our lives because God is on our side and he has promised to care for us. So we pause before we eat to thank God. Implied in the Lord's Thanksgiving at the institution of this sacrament of the altar is that Jesus is also giving thanks for the fellowship that he and his disciples share. He is thanking the Father for allowing him to love them, to die for them. He has come to reconcile them to himself at terrible price, but he is glad to do it, thankful for the chance to serve, to make them and us his bride. It seems strange at first when you think about it, but Jesus is thankful for the Holy Communion, for therein he enjoys union and intimacy with his bride, the church. That is an important part of his giving thanks in the institution of the supper. And it stands at the very center of the Lutheran liturgy's thanksgiving. But before the words of institution, we have an explicit call to thanks. As part of the proper preface, the pastor says or chants, let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. And as we chant back, it is meet and right so to do. Then the pastor says and chants, that it is always right to give thanks to God. And then he goes on for a little bit to explain why this might be. What are we giving thanks for? The word preface here in the proper preface doesn't mean that it is something merely preliminary, but rather that here is a proclamation and a preparation to be made. This is done by an invitation to thanksgiving. The part that changes does so seasonally, giving us reasons to give thanks. And they are tied to the particular seasons of Advent or Christmas or Easter and the like. The reasons could be, of course, somewhat endless. But they are all united by a singular gift of justification. That is, that we receive the forgiveness of sins and become righteous before God by grace for Christ. And we believe that Christ has suffered for us and that for his sake our sins are forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to God because he has redeemed us. He has justified us. In the festival half of the year, that's the time between Advent and Pentecost, the liturgy usually ties our thanksgiving in the proper preface to the specific historical acts of Christ in the Incarnation, which has wrought our salvation. But so also we could develop themes of God's love, of being members of his family, of being his bride, of the gifts of word and sacrament, and so forth. All of these things are cause for us to rejoice and give thanks, and it is right for us at all times and all places to do so. But all of them are intimately tied and dependent upon the atoning gift of the cross. If we were not justified, there would be nothing to be thankful for. God's grace is distributed in a variety, in various ways, such as through his word, in the holy absolution, and in holy baptism. But the means of grace that is called the Eucharist, again, that is Greek for thanksgiving, is the Holy Communion. So it is that after the distribution, the pastor says or chants, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And we respond by chanting, "And his mercy endures forever." Then the pastor prays the thanksgiving prayer on behalf of all the people. Most of the time, we pray this prayer. "We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift." The salutary or healthful gift is the Holy Communion. We thank God for refreshing us through this. Then we beseech him that of his mercy he would strengthen us through the same. That is, through the same salutary gift, which is Holy Communion. That through it he would strengthen our faith toward him and our love towards our neighbor. Which is to say that his refreshing mercy, which he bestows in the sacrament, would cause us to love him with our whole heart and love our neighbors as ourselves. That is all the entire liturgy is in the form of thanksgiving. All this to say that which is probably pretty obvious, at least to you guys, because you're here this morning on Thanksgiving, that the most natural way for Lutherans to give thanks to God is to receive the Holy Communion. So it is that in the context of our holiday Thanksgiving, these words of the liturgy, these words of thanks, these words, even in the sacrament itself, take on new importance and new significance in a way similar that the Gloria in Excelsis does for Christmas. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we give thanks to God at all times and in all places. In terms of the Sermon on the Mount, this is the opposite of being anxious about our lives, what we will eat and what we will drink. Rather than being anxious, even in evil times, even in suffering, we give thanks to God because he has given us his body to eat and his blood to drink. That's the antidote to anxiety about food or whatever else it might be. Our God has become a man to buy and win us, and he gives himself to us as food, drink, and clothing. So we give thanks as we receive the forgiveness of sins in the Holy Eucharist. And giving thanks there enables us to go go out and go forth and give thanks in all times and in all places, knowing that whatever the world may throw at us, we have his body to eat and his blood to drink. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may rise for the offertory.